Right. Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Nazir is Samech Beis. Thank you, Lupin Foundation, for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is on Nazir Chaneshmas Liba Gabriela Bashmul. Yesterday, we began the final parak of the Masechta. Samech Aleph, yesterday's daf, started off a discussion about a non-Jew becoming a Nazir. So the Mishnah told us two fundamental points. So number one, the Mishnah said yesterday that a non-Jew, the Mishnah used the word kusi in the context of yesterday's Mishnah, means just simply a non-Jew. A non-Jew ain't lahem Nazir, so they're not in the parsha of Nazir, so they cannot become a Nazir. Although they are included in some voluntary offerings, and they can make some sort of ned or nadav as it relates to the Beis HaMikdash, but they can't become a Nazir. Nashim and the Nashim Vavadim, on the other hand, are included in the parsha of Nazirus. Women explicitly, the Torah actually says Isha, and when it comes to Nevet, so it's a ribui, it's an inclusion that in Nevet Kanani can become a Nazir. So yesterday the discussion of the Gemara centered around the first point of the Mishnah, that a non-Jew is not included in Nazirus. Why should that be? Why should a non-Jew not be included in Nazirus? So the Gemara quoted Apostle Dabar B'nei Yisrael V'lolo Avdi Kochavim. So the drasha is a very simple drasha. It says B'nei Yisrael to the exclusion of Avdi Kochavim. The problem, of course, is, as the Gemara pointed out yesterday, that the parsha of Nazir also includes the word Ish, and we know that Ish is generally a universal term. The Torah uses the word Ish. It generally means everybody. So all humanity, it's all inclusive. So it would certainly then seem to be that that a non-Jew should be included in the parsha of Nazir. So even again, we know the conclusion. The conclusion is that they're not. But at least within the world of Jewish, we're in the world of Joshua. So how can that be? How can it be that they're not included? So and even the Havamina of the Gemara now that that they are included, it's a Havamina. But even the Havamina of the Gemara that they are included, you have to wonder how exactly do they bring the Karbanos. Non-Jews are allowed to bring a Karbanola, right? That they're allowed to do. But after that, they can't bring any other type of Karban. They can't bring a Shlomim. They can't bring a Chatas. So and those are the other two Karbanos of a Nazir. So even in the Havamina, it is a little bit strange to even entertain the idea that they can become a Nazir. Maybe you could suggest a couple suggestions that, you know, off the top of my head, not the best place to turn to for suggestions, but maybe you could suggest that they'll just bring the Karbanola, which, as we pointed out earlier in the Masechta, you should bring all three Karbanos, but if you bring one, it's enough. But that's a difficult suggestion. Another suggestion, maybe they'll have a sponsor. In other words, maybe a Jew will sponsor their Karbanos. All right, it's, you know, it definitely needs a response. Exactly how we even having this discussion, but we are having the discussion in terms of how do we know that they're excluded from the parsha of Nazir. So the Gemara yesterday said that it could be that it's a function of Kibbut Av Va'Em. So what the Gemara said, Yerusha yesterday, we're going to come back to Yerusha, but the Gemara says it could be it's a function of Kibbut Av Va'Em. So Kibbut Av Va'Em, the Gemara says, they're not included in the parsha of Kibbut Av Va'Em. So I'm sorry, and the reason why the Gemara thought it was a function of Kibbut Av Va'Em is because the Torah says regarding the Nazir, La'aviv li'imo lo yitama. Okay, so so it could be that it's a function of Kibbut Av Va'Em. The Gemara doesn't like that approach. The Gemara says that they aren't included in the mitzvah of Kibbut Av Va'Em. That's not really reasonable. The Gemara says maybe it's a function of Tumah. This approach the Gemara liked. That we know that a non-Jew is not subject to Tumah, not susceptible to Tumah, not included in Tahara, not part of Tumah, not part of Tahara. And of course we know that one of the defining points of a Nazir is a Nazir cannot come into contact with Tumah. So the Gemara says that could be it. Meaning that could be a real possibility in terms of why we know that non-Jews are not included in the Parsha of Nazir. Okay, so that's what we saw yesterday. That's just a quick synopsis of everything we did yesterday, and let us continue in the Gemara. So, kol sheyesh lo tahara yesh lo tumah, v'chol she'ein lo tahara ein lo tumah. Okay, ve'ein matahu, I'm sorry. So, Rav Acha. Okay, good. So we're on Samech Aleph Amud Beis. We're about a third of the way down in the Gemara. The first word in the line is V'ish, and we're starting now with Rav Acha bar Yaakov. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov is now going to suggest another possibility. Again, what we're trying to argue right now, not argue, but come some sort of explanation, some sort of rationale in terms of why it is that a non-Jew is not included in the parsha of Nazirus. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Amar Shani Hachad, Amar Kravis, Nachal Temosam Levnechem, Acharechem. Kol sheyesh lo nachla, yesh lo tuma, v'chol she'ein lo nachla, ein lo tuma. So the Gemara says that if you are included in the world of nachla, so then you are subject to tuma. And if you're not included in the world of nachla, you're not subject to tuma. What the Gemara now is suggesting, says Tosfos, is that we're talking now about an Eved. Right? There were two points in the Mishnah that we discussed yesterday. One point in the Mishnah was a non-Jew is not included in Naziris. We also said yesterday that an Eved is included in Naziris. So the as Tosfos points out over here, we had a drasha earlier about Mishesh Lo'av, as it relates to Yerusha. So the Gemara now is going to compare and contrast that to an Eved Kenani. So the Gemara says, so if you are in the parsha of Hisnachal Tamasam of Nechem Acharechem, meaning that's the Yerusha of an Eved to the next generation, so you're included in the world of Tuma, the Choshe Ein Lo Nachla Ein Lo Tuma. So Ihach Yavadim Nami, so lo. So the Gemara says, okay, so you're telling me now that it's a function of passing on an Eved from one generation to the next generation. And let me just make this point clear, because what the Gemara is driving at is as follows. And this is Tosfos' explanation of the Gemara. Look, as we pointed out yesterday, so when we own an Eved Kenani, we own the person. Okay, there's what the Gemara described yesterday as Kinyan Nafsho. Okay, there's a Kinyan Nefesh. And that means then when a person owns an Eved Kenani and he dies, so what happens to the Eved Kenani? Goes to the next generation. Like all the property, like all the assets of the person go to the next generation, so does the Eved Kenani as well. Okay. However, in the world of a non-Jew also has slavery. A non-Jew also has avdus, meaning a non-Jew can have another non-Jew as an Eved. But there, it's not Kinyan HaNefesh. The Gemara says, Tosfos quotes a number of Gemaras that speak to this idea. The Gemara says elsewhere that a non-Jew doesn't own another non-Jew, but rather it's indentured servitude. In other words, you call him an Eved and he'll work for you and he can't go anywhere else, but there's no Kinyan over there. That means then that when a non-Jew owns an Eved and the non-Jew dies, what happens to the Eved? He goes free. In other words, it's not a Kinyan and a Nefesh. It doesn't get passed down from one generation into the next generation. So the Gemara says that's how we know that a non-Jew is not included in the Parsha of Naziris. Because to be included in the Parsha of Naziris, you have to have the ability where you're going to own an Eved Kenani that is only true by a Jew, that's not true by a non-Jew. So the Gemara says, okay, so that's how we get at this idea that a non-Jew is not included in the Parsha of Eved Kenani. The Gemara says, Yihach Yavadim Nami. Well, so the Gemara says, okay, if that's the rationale, if that's the reason, so an Eved Kenani should not be included in Nazir. Now we know that's not correct. The Mishnah told us an Eved Kenani is included in Nazir. And why is the Gemara now making this suggestion? So again, going back to Tosfos, so he explains that what the Gemara means is as follows. We know that, first of all, an Eved Kenani can't even own anything. That's step one. Step two is that you can give something to an Eved Kenani to the exclusion of his master. There's that possibility. However, when you give an Eved Kenani an Eved, okay, it's a funny gift to give to an Eved Kenani, but when you give him an Eved, he doesn't own the Eved like a Jew owns an Eved Kenani. A Jew owns an Eved Kenani with Kinyan Nefesh, meaning its ownership. When a Eved Kenani owns another Eved Kenani, it's not Kinyan Nefesh, meaning it's not going to get passed down to the next generation. Okay, so again, the Gemara says if this is the benchmark, if this is the criteria of who's included in Naziris and who's not, so much like we excluded the non-Jew, we should all be also excluding the Eved Kenani, and that's not the conclusion we need to arrive at because we already know. The Mishnah already told us what the conclusion is. Non-Jews are excluded from Naziris, Eved Kenani is included. So Amar Rav Abishlam, Megabe Erchin Shenemar, Bnei Yisrael, Marichem Enov, Dekochav, Marichem. So Rav says like this, look, let's go to the Parsha of Erchin. Let's contrast this to the Parsha of Erchin. Again, the Parsha of Erchin, we discussed this just yesterday, is when a person makes a donation to the Beis HaMikdash based on either himself or somebody else. It could be anybody. As long as a person has an age and a gender, so that person now who made the donation has to give based on a schedule that's given in the end of Parsha's B'chukosad. So the pasuk says Bnei Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael, Marichem Einov, Dekochav Marichem. Now we know that a Jew can be Ma'arich; he could be one doing the donation of Erechin, but non-Jew cannot. Yachlo Yei Ne'erachin. What about being the subject of an Erech? Meaning, if I point to a non-Jew and I say I'd like to give his Erech, okay, so he's not the one making the donation; He's just establishing how much money I'm going to give. He's got a gender, he's got an age. So, is he? Can he be ne'arach? Tamalamer ish. So the Hacham Bnei Yisrael, Nozrim Umevin Karban, Veino of the Kochavim, Nozrim Umevin Karban. So the Gemara said, I'm sorry, Tamalamer ish. Okay, sorry. Period. So the Torah has
included.
Huh?
It's an issue against
everything. Right. So in other words, by Erechin, so this is basically how we resolve the dilemma. Meaning on one hand it says B'nai Yisrael, on the other hand it says Ish. So it says B'nai Yisrael, which means that on the side of being Ma'arich, so that's only Jew and not non-Jew. And on the other side, on the subject of being Ne'arach, so then that's Ish. Meaning anybody could be Ne'arach, there could be Jew and non-Jew alike. Okay. Hacha B'nai Yisrael knows him and being Karban. They know of the Kochavim, Nozrim and being Karban. Okay, so here now. Once again, now in the Parsha of Nazir, so we're basically, we have to basically resolve the same dilemma, the same conflict. On one hand, the Torah describes Nazir, introduces it with the words B'nai Yisrael. On the other hand, there's also the word Ish. So we'll say like this. B'nai Yisrael knows when they're being carbon, that B'nai Yisrael can be can declare themselves to be a Nazir, and they're going to bring a carbon. B'nai Yisrael knows when they're being carbon. Yachal af lo yehu Nazir in klal. So tamalama ish. So the so I might have thought that they can't bring a carbon, they can't be a Nazir at all. So the Torah comes to tell me ish. No, they can be a Nazir. Okay. So this is right now the Gemara's suggestion that what a non-Jew is excluded from is the carbon of Nazirus, but in terms of the actual Nazirus itself, a non-Jew can be included. Okay, that is right now a suggestion, and the reason why the Gemara is making the suggestion is, again, to resolve the conflict, where in the Parsha of Nazir, just like in the Parsha of Erechin, you have the word B'nai Yisrael, which is limiting, you have the word Ish, which is inclusionary. So how do I resolve those two?
Okay. But you wouldn't be
Tumah
doesn't affect
me.
Yeah. There's a hair, basically.
Hair and
wine. Hair and
wine,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, correct. Amri. Imishub carbon love mehachanafkale. So, elamehausam. So the Gemara says, no. Meaning, you're telling me that your resolution of Ish against B'nai Yisrael is to tell me that they're included in Nazirus, but they're excluded from carbon. I already knew they were excluded from carbon. Meaning there's a different source in the Torah that teaches us they're excluded from carbon. This can't be the source that tells me they're excluded from carbon. The Gemara explains the drasha. La Ola. Gemara is quoting a pasuk from Parsha Zamar. Pralin Nazirus. So the they're excluded from Nazirus of Rav Yossi Aglili. And there doesn't seem to be anyone arguing on this position, Rav Yossi Aglili. Meaning we already know that they're excluded from carbon. The only carbon that they could bring is a carbon ola, which makes my suggestion that I made at the beginning of this year today even more absurd. Meaning that the Gemara over here, like, will not even entertain the idea that a non-Jew is just going to bring a carbon ola for his Nazirus. So, okay, the Gemara says, we already know they're excluded from carbon. So, once we know that they're excluded from carbon, so now, back to square one. The Parsha of Nazir says the word B'nai Yisrael. The Parsha of Nazir also says the word Ish. And how do I resolve the exclusionary term of B'nai Yisrael, the inclusionary term of Ish? And if it's an issue of carbon, the Gemara says, no, it's not. Because we already know that they're excluded from carbon. So the Gemara says, Ema b'nei Yisrael knows in Nazirus Olam, ve'ino of de'kochavim knows in Nazirus Olam. So the Gemara says, okay, so maybe we can make the following hairline split. And that is that a Jew can become a Nazir permanently. Nazir Olam, we discussed in the beginning of the Masechta. A non-Jew can only become a temporary Nazir. Okay? Now Gemara says, maybe that's a suggestion. Yachalo yehei nazirim tamalam ra'ish. Okay. Am Rav Yochanan miksiv Nazir Olam. So Rav Yochanan says, no, I'm not buying that. Doesn't say that in the Pasuk. Meaning the Torah gives a blanket exclusion to a non-Jew. And now for us to make this kind of delineation, they can't be a Nazir Olam, but they can be a temporary Nazir. The Gemara says that's really, Rav Yochanan says that doesn't seem to be that way from the Pesukim. Ema. So the Gemara says, okay, let's suggest the following. B'nei Yisrael madirin b'neihem b'nazir, ve'enav de'kochavim madirin b'neihem b'nazir. Okay, the Gemara suggests, I think I got it. Maybe there is a difference between Jew and non-Jew as it relates to Nazir. Maybe as it relates to a Jew not only can become a Nazir, but force his child to be a Nazir. Okay, early in the Masechta, we had a Mishnah that discussed this idea that even though your son is a katan and even though he's not chayv yet in mitzvos, a father can force his son to be a nazir. Now, if you remember the Gemara back then, there was a machlokas amarayim between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, whether this is a function of chinuch, that's Reish Lakish's opinion, or it's halach l'moshe misina, which is Rav Yochanan's opinion. To which the Gemara says, I'm sorry, yach lo yein nizim tamalam reish. Okay, so this is now the Gemara's suggestion that a non-Jew is included in the parsha of Nazir, and we learned that from Ish, excluded from the special idea in Nazir that you can force your child to be a Nazir. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Yochanan, lachihi b'Nazir." So the Gemara says, look, remember Rav Yochanan earlier said, this is halach l'moshe misinai. And what's the point the Gemara is making right now? I'm not going to have a drasha that's going to be influenced by a halach l'moshe misinai, right? And we spoke to this idea earlier as well. It's almost as if halach l'moshe misinai and psukim in the Torah are like on two different tracks, like on two different paths. Obviously, they're both binding. They're both misinai, but a drasha. We just spoke about this. A drasha is not going to affect a halach l'moshe misinai. Okay? They coexist, if you will.
Yeah,
huh? The pasuk and the halach, they're not going to affect each other. They're not going to influence one another. So the drasha of Ish versus Bnei Yisrael is not going to affect a halach l'moshe misinai, or not going to be influenced by a halach l'moshe misinai. Okay, so Ema Bnei Yisrael megalchen al nazir saviim ve'ena ovdei kochavim megalchem al nazir saviim. So the Gemara makes another stab, and again, all we're trying to do is understand that on one hand, the Torah says Bnei Yisrael, that means that the parsha of Nazir is specific to Bnei Yisrael. On the other hand, the Torah also says the word Ish. It actually says Ish when it comes to Nazir, and that is an inclusionary, universal term that would include Jew and non-Jew alike. And how do I balance the two? So the Gemara now is making another suggestion, which is, we're down the very bottom, Samech Chafam and Beis, going to the top. So I might have thought that it would influence the halacha of Bnei Yisrael Megachon Nazir Savim, Bein Ovdei Kochav Megachon Nazir Savim. Remember, we had a discussion also early in the Masechta that if the father died, he declared himself to be a Nazir, counting the days of Nazirus, and he dies and he left money. And if the money was unspecified, so it goes to Nadava. But if the money was specified, so then the son could take the money, and the son could use the money, apply the money, or the karbanos towards his own naziris. Okay,
so
special.
He's already
it's a good point. Okay, but again, the Gemara is trying to strike some sort of distinction, but that is a very good point. Okay, so avdi kochav megachon nazir savim yachol oyein nazirim tamalam reish. Okay, so once again, ha'ad marmer of Yochanan lachi ben nazir. So the Gemara once again says, no, nothing doing, because halachi ben nazir. Once again, that also, if you remember, according to Rav Yochanan, was halach l'moshe misinai, right? That was a big theme over there that Rav Yochanan kept repeating. That's halach l'moshe misinai. So the Gemara says that too was a halach l'moshe misinai. And again, the point the Gemara is making is exactly the same point, that a halach l'moshe misinai will not be influenced by a drasha. The drasha is not going to affect and the halach l'moshe misinai, and vice versa. The halach l'moshe misinai is not going to affect the drasha. So I know it's funny, but period. Meaning that's the end of the discussion.
Can all of us then say halach l'moshe misinai? If you can't find a way, you know.
Right. So. Right. It could be. It happens to be. That's just in the not in this last example, but two examples ago about forcing your son to be a nazir. So that was a machlokas, whether it's halach l'moshe misinai or it was a function of chinuch. So that's just a good example where not everyone agrees that's halach l'moshe misinai. Anyway, so let's just recap. So what have we been discussing since the beginning of the Mishnah? That a non-Jew is excluded from the parsha of Nazir. That's the conclusion. The Mishnah says, Ein lam nazirus. And the discussion that really took place from the Mishnah until this very moment, top of Samach Beis Aman Aleph, is a discussion of Mehechi Tesi. How do I know that? Where does halacha come from? So the Gemara on the simplest level comes from the fact that the Torah says, B'nei Yisrael. B'nei sof lo ovdei kochavim. But what basically the Gemara's been grappling with is at the same time we know that by Erchin the Torah says the word ish, which gives some sort of inclusion of a non-Jew in the parsha of Erchin. So the same thing should be true by Nazir. The Torah says the word ish, there should be some sort of inclusion. Although after the last 15 minutes of discussion, the Gemara, and last almost Amud of Gemara, the Gemara really just, you know, after knocking its head into the wall a number of times, could not come up with how could we possibly have any kind of inclusion of a non-Jew as into the Parsha of Nazir. Okay. Yeah, good. It's right. That's the Gemara's banging its head. I don't know. You know, I could do the same thing also, but okay, good. It's a good. Exactly what bothers the Gemara. All right. The next two words in the Gemara, Yihachi, the Gemara takes it out. The Gemara says it's doesn't flow because this next point of the Gemara is not a connected point. It's really a new discussion. So let's start off. Let's start off now on Samach Beis Amud Aleph, two lines down. Ish ki yafli neder be'erkecha be'arachin. So the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Bechukosai, the parsha of Erchin, and the parsha of Erchin is connected with Nedarim. So Be'erchin lamali michti ha'it kishercha l'nedarim. So clearly there is a hekesh in the very same pasuk. The Torah is formulating two ideas: one idea of Erchin, another idea of Nedarim, and they're very similar to one another. It's just that Erchin has a very defined formula for how you donate. Erchin, if I give my own erech, it's my age, it's my gender. And the Torah has a schedule of how much I'm supposed to give. A neder, on the other hand, is not that formulaic. A neder, you can give whatever you want. You can make a donation of whatever you want. Could be a carbon, could be an item. So, but nevertheless, the two ideas are connected in the same pasuk. Hekesh. The amakra, ish ki afli neder be'erkecha. I'm sorry. The ha'ikesherch nedarim da'amakra ish ki afli neder be'erkecha. The hatanya will learn to the brisa. Gabi nedarim ish ma tamalama ish the rabbis hasal of the kochav she'nojim nedarim nedavus ki Israel. So, and we also know that in the parsha of nedarim, so non-Jews are included in the parsha of nedarim. Meaning, a non-Jew who wants to make a neder to the base of mikdash, he may do so. Okay. There was a discussion just off the daf for just a moment. There was a discussion about the acceptance of donations from non-Jews to Jewish institutions, shuls, schools, yeshivas. Yeah. Okay. The right, Shlomo HaMelech accepting donations. Anyway, it's not as cut and dry as we're saying right now, but okay. I say that under my breath. Anyway, back to the Gemara. Shein nojim nadav nadavus ki Yisrael ish ki yafli be'erchin lamali. So now, the Gemara says, let's think about this. So on one hand, we know that non-Jews are included in the parsha of neder and nedarim. Then we also know that there's a hekesh linking nedarim and erchin. So why then does the Torah have to? So I already know that there's some sort of inclusionary role of a non-Jew as it relates to erchin. I know that. So then why does the Torah have to then say the word ish? So ish ki yafli be'erchin lamali. So the Gemara says, okay, so you know what? The Gemara concedes that ish in the parsha of Erchin is not for the exclusion of, not for the inclusion of a non-Jew. We knew that already. We knew that based on a two-step process, we have a hekesh between Erchin and Darim, step one. Step two, we know that non-Jews are included in Darim. Okay, so I already knew that there's an inclusionary role of a non-Jew in the parsha of Erchin. Fine. Now that I know that, so then what's the Torah doing with the word ish in the parsha of Erchin? To which the Gemara says, it's coming to tell me a different halacha. Now the Gemara uses the word lasuye over here. Lasuye usually means to include. In the context of the Gemara over here, it means exclusion. Meaning that the word ish is including an exclusion. Okay, sorry for that confusion, but hopefully you'll understand better in just a moment. Mufla samachlish. The Gemara says like this. We know that in order to make a neder, so you have to be bar mitzvah. Meaning you have to have cognitive awareness. And so if you want to make a neder, you have to think. You have to be able to think. You have to be a gadol. However, we also know that there are people who are a little bit precocious. You don't have to be that precocious. And already at 12 years of age, so already there's a beginning of a thought process. Okay, the beginning. And in the as far as it relates to the rest of the Torah, okay, you're starting to think, that's wonderful. You're not chayv in mitzvahs until you get to bar mitzvah. Okay. In the world of Nedarim, we've discussed this halacha back in Nedarim, and we're discussing it again right now, and that is, in the world of Nedarim, we know that at 12 years of age for a boy, 11 years of age for a girl, as long as they have the basic cognitive ability, so their Nedarim do have validity. They're given status of Neder, even though they're not yet a bar mitzvah. So the Gemara says, and that's true when it comes to Nedarim. That's true when it comes to Erechin. That is not true as it relates to a non-Jew. So, so the Gemara says, good. If you subscribe to the idea of Mufla Samachlish being a Dinda Araisa, so the Gemara says, that's wonderful. Meaning, then I need a drasha to exclude it. But if the whole concept of Mufla Samachlish is only Din Darabanan, that means that Minatara, we don't even recognize. We're not even going to recognize the Minatara. So I don't need a drasha to exclude. So La'asuye Mufla Samachlish Tovi Kochavim. So the previous point the Gemara was making, I jumped ahead one point. I apologize. The previous point the Gemara was making is that in general Erchin is going to be excluded from Mufla Samachlish. Okay, which the Gemara rejects. If Mufla Samachlish is only a din derabanan, so the Gemara says, now we're at the point. So Mufla Samachlish tovi kochavim. The Gemara says, no. What we're coming to do is we're coming to exclude it as it relates to a non-Jew. Hanich laman damer bnei Yisrael ne'arachem ein ovdi kochavim ne'arachem yachol oyu ma'arich and tamalamer ish shaper. So the Gemara says, look, I understand this point. If you're of the opinion that Bnei Yisrael are Nerach, and the non-Jew is not Nerach, so Yachlo Yamarich and Tamalam Ish. Okay, so that means that like this. Yesterday, we made a distinction when it comes to non-Jew in the Parsha of Erechin between being the one making the Erech or being the subject of the Erech. Now, in yesterday's daf, we said that a Jew can be Ma'arich, and a non-Jew can be ne'erach. Now the Gemara is pointing out that there's another opinion, which goes the exact opposite, which is that a Jew and a non-Jew can be ma'arich, while only a Jew can be ne'erach. Okay? Now, what these two opinions are doing is just simply reflecting two different opinions in the Gemara and Erechin, and the Gemara's point over here goes like this. Look. If we say that Jew and non-Jew alike can be ma'arich, meaning they're the ones who can make the Erechin vow. So the Gemara says, I get it. It makes perfect sense. Because now here's what we're saying. We're saying that as it relates to a Jew, you could be ma'arich when you are at the age where you can make a neder. When can you make a neder? So you can make a neder when you're an adult, and you're also given a bonus year. You can make an erech when you're, for a boy, from 12 to 13, and when you're a girl, 11 to 12. So in other words, as it relates to the Jew, that's what the Torah is coming to tell me. And when the Torah says the word ish, what is it coming to exclude? It's coming to exclude this concept as it relates to a non-Jew. As it relates to a non-Jew, so this concept is excluded. So the Gemara says, that's all well and good if you're saying that a Jew and a non-Jew can be ma'arich. El lamand, amr b'nei Yisrael ma'arich, amein ov dekochav ma'arich, and yachol oyen arach, and tamalom ish. So afilu tinek ben chodesh bar aruchehu, ki yafli lamali. So the Gemara says, but if we're not talking about making the Erech Vow, but we're talking being on the receiving end of the Erech Vow, being the subject of the Erech Vow, so what do we know? The Torah says, for that, you can be any age ranging from 1 month old to as long as a person can live. So there, we can't make a distinction in ages, because if we're just talking about being Nerach, there the Torah includes someone from 1 month to someone who is as old as they can get. So if that's true, so once again, this exclusionary term of ish isn't coming to exclude anything. So the Gemara says, ki afi lamali, so amravada bava lasuya vikochavim gadol, the afa gav de gadohu, eno yodea lahaflos. So the Gemara is suggesting now that Maybe the exclusion over here is coming to for an adult non-Jew, that even though he's a gadol, but eino yode al haflos, but he doesn't know how to say it with clarity. So the Gemara says, what does that? What does that mean? Ela ki afli dechsiv rachmana gabin nazirus lamali. So michti ayit gish nazirus lanadarim ki afli lamali. So the Gemara says, really? So in other words, you're telling me that it has something to do with a position of clarity, meaning that there's clarity for a Jew, but non-clarity for a non-Jew. Now I'll explain what that means better in just a second. So the Gemara says, lamali laasuya yadaim she'ino mochicha. So the Gemara says, well, maybe it's coming to include yadaim she'ino mochicha. Remember, we saw this back in the beginning of Masechta Nedarim, and we saw it again back in the beginning of Masechta Nazir. And it basically means like this. In order to formulate a neder, both a neder or nazir, so you have to make an articulate statement. You have to be clear. And we pointed out also, when we did beginning of Masechta Nedarim and the beginning of Masechta Nazir, even if you make a shorthanded version of the sentence, as long as there's clarity involved, so then that is in fact going to be a neder, and in the world of nazir, you'll be a nazir. So what if, and that's what's called yadaim hamochichos. Yad in the world of nedarim just simply means a handle. It means that I'm not making a full sentence, I'm making a partial sentence, but people know what I mean. I made the comparison way back when. It's like what we do now in texting. Okay, you're not putting sentences together. You're not even writing words. You're just a couple of letters here and there. But people know what you mean generally. So that's the so in the world of nedarim, so it works. Meaning a yad works in nedarim. Okay, what if it's a yad she'eno mochiach? Again, we discussed this also back when. Yad she'eno mochiach is the idea that I'm saying something, but there's really it's a little bit ambiguous what I'm saying. The example the Gemara gave earlier is just simply aha. Right, Aleph, hey, Aleph. Okay, along walks a Nazir, and I say, aha, not the English like Eureka, but more like, hey, I'm going to be like him. Aha. Even though, again, you didn't put a sentence together. Your grammar was terrible. Your syntax was awful. But you're kind of trying to generate a point of, I'd like to be like him. This is what's called Yadayim Sheino Mochichas. Does that work, yes or no? And the answer, of course, is that's a machlokas. Eidmar, the Gemara says, Yadayim Sheino Mochichas, Abaye Amar Havi Yadayim, Rav Amar Lo Havi Yadayim. So Abaye says, yes, it works. And Rav says, no, it does not work. And now what the Gemara is saying is that the exclusionary term of Ish is coming to tell me that this concept of Yadayim Sheino Mochichas only applies if you're a Jew. But if you're not a Jew, it doesn't apply. That now is what the Gemara is suggesting is in terms of what is being manufactured from the exclusionary term of Ish. The Gemara says, great. If you subscribe to the viewpoint of Abaye, that's great. And that's exactly what the Gemara says. La Abaye Nicha. El Rava Michael Amemar. But good. That's it. That's great if you're a Abaye, but what if you're Rava? So, now, by the way, as a parenthetical note, the Gemara that I just read over here, Tosus does not like the Girsa that we just had in the Gemara, because it comes out that the Gemara just basically tipped its cap towards the opinion of Abaye. This is not one of the Alkagams. So, Tosos has a different Girsa. Anyway, switches the positions. Not the positions, the names. Okay, anyway. So, Ela Kiyafli Mi Baile Lechad Rabbi Tarfon. So the Gemara says, good. Whew. So what we're trying to do right now is come up with some sort of point in terms of what Ish is coming to exclude in the world of Nedarim. Because again, we know already that a non-Jew is included in the Parsha of Nedarim, and so what Ish is coming to do is, in the world of Erchin, to try to create some sort of exclusion. So the Gemara says, "Tanya Rabbi Yehuda, Amr Mishum Rabbi Tarfon, Einecha Meim Nazir Lefish Lo Nidna Nazirus Ela LaHafla." Okay, this position of Rabbi Tarfon as quoted by Rabbi Yehuda, we've seen now multiple times in the Masechta, and basically it goes like this. We see me and a friend are standing. We're seeing a person coming towards us, and he looks a little hippie-ish. And I say he's a Nazir. My friend says he's not a Nazir. And both of us now make a commitment to being a Nazir based on my being correct or him being correct. One of us is going to be a Nazir. Rabbi Tarfon says neither of us are going to be a Nazir, because Rabbi Tarfon says that the only way to accept Nazirus is when you know the facts at the time you're making a declaration. You cannot make a declaration based on information you do not yet know. only then to discover that information later, it's not going to work, says Rabbi Tarfon. So the Gemara says that this is a concept where would apply to a Jew, but would not apply to a non-Jew. That's the exclusionary term. So the Gemara says, Hanichla Rabbi Tarfon, Allah Rabban Maikal Amehma. The Gemara says, good. But that's only if you agree with Rabbi Tarfon. But what if you don't agree with Rabbi Tarfon? So the release from a neder, it floats in the air and does not have anything to connect it to. Okay, the Mishnah in Chagiga. The Mishnah in Chagiga is just observing that there are times when there are many halachas that have no connection to the Torah. So, for example, Pesach, the release of somebody from a neder. We know the Torah speaks about hafara, husband's ability to annul his wife's neder, but when it comes to a chacham's ability to be matir, to release somebody from a neder, that's not written in the Torah. That's the Mishnah in Chagiga. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer Yeshlam Amin, Shiyas Mechush Nehmer Ish Kiafli. So, Kiafli Shtei Pa'amim. So Rabbi Eliezer says, no, there is something to be Samechan. He says, what are we going to be Samechan? The word Ish. So, Echad Afla Le'isr Ve'echad Afla Le'heter. Okay, and one is to generate a hafla as it relates to Isser, and one is to generate a hafla as it relates to Heter. What does that mean, Heter? It means releasing somebody from an Heter. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, so now you have a use of the word Ish, and so the original question that we asked, what are we doing with the word Ish? It wasn't there to include a non-Jew in the Parsha of Erchin. We already know he's included, so what are we doing? So the Gemara says, well, again, a number of possibilities of what we're going to do with the word Ish, the last of which the Gemara suggested is that it's coming to teach us the whole idea, the concept of Heter Nadar. Akan. So again, the Gemara over there, the Gemara, because we know it can't. In other words, the halacha is it doesn't. The Mishnah tells us that. So, right. So, again, the question is, what do we do with the word Ish as it relates to Nazir? I don't know. It could be, but Rabbi Lazar seems to be very specific that he gets it from the Parsha B'chukosai. So, okay, could be. Okay. We are now in Samach Beis Amud Beis. We are starting now the next Mishnah. Chomer ba'avadim b'nashim. So there's a chomra as it relates to Eved over that of women. This is a continuation of the first Mishnah. If you look back at the first Mishnah of the Perek and Samach Alpha and Aleph, so the Mishnah over there says that nashim va'avadim, women and slaves, are included in the Parsha of Nazirus. And then the Mishnah won't point it out, but there's a chomer as it relates to nashim over that of avadim. Shu kofes avdo ve'eno kofes es ishto. An owner can force his Eved, an owner cannot force his wife. Meaning after she declares herself to be a Nazir, and after the 24-hour period after the husband has heard, so then that's it, she's a Nazir. And at no point in time can he do anything about it. Chomer b'avadim shebenashim shu mefer nidrei ishto ve'eno mefer nidrei avdo. So the a owner, let me go in the correct order of the Mishnah. A husband can be mefer the neder of his wife. Okay. So in the first 24 hours after having heard about his wife's neder, so the husband could say nope within the first 24 hours. However, eino mefer nidre avdo, but the cannot be mefer the neder of his slave. Hefer leishto, hefer lamis, hefer laavdo yasa lecheros. And the Mishnah then goes on to articulate, and it means as follows. It means that, as it relates to your wife, so when a husband is made for his wife's nedarim, that's it. The neder is officially over. In other words, the cancellation of the husband means expunged, removed. And if the marriage is, for whatever reason, dissolved, the neder that she made, the nazirus that she made, is not going to come back. It's totally removed. However, an owner and a slave. The owner goes on to the Mishnah says that Eino Mefer Nidre Avdo cannot be made for his slave's Nedarim. So if the owner was made for the Naziris of his Eved, so when the Eved goes free, Mashlin Naziris.
Why do you need the last line? The last line is obvious. He can't revoke his slave's neder.
Completely.
Right, so what the Mishnah really is doing is explaining itself, meaning that what the Mishnah, when the Mishnah says that he can't be made for the nether of his slave, he could stop the nazirus, but he can't remove it. When it comes to the husband and his wife, the husband can both stop and remove the nazirus. He could stop it. In other words, right now you're working for me. Okay, I don't want this business of you not getting a haircut, you not drinking wine, right? You're right now you're my Eved. So you, in other words, I don't want to hear from it right now.
But he's not really
correct. That's exactly what the Mishnah says, right?
Isn't a subcategory of a neder?
Yes.
So that if a owner can nullify a nazero or force him to violate a nazero, right?
Right.
Why can force him to violate his neder?
So stay tuned. The Gemara is going to speak more about this. Tanu Rabbanan. Lama.
Huh? An owner cannot annul the.
So we'll see. So Lama Rabba Kofel and Zeros Avalo Lenadarim Ula Erchen. So the Brisa starts off with a suggestion. Okay, stay tuned because we're going to clarify the Brisa suggestion. But a owner can force the Nazirus, right? Force his slave out of the nazirus, but not neder, not erchin. So Maishnai Gabi Nazir Dam Erchman Lesser Isa Nasho Bemish Nasho Kenu Yelo Yatze Evishay Nasho Kenu Yelo. So as we made this point earlier, I'm going to say it now again, that you can only make a neder when you have a kinyan nefesh, when you own yourself. And an Eved Kenani, when owned by a Jew, does not own himself. So this point is true by Nazir, it's true by Erchin, it's true by Nazirus. So in other words, the halacha should be the same consistently throughout. So the Gemara makes the following suggestion. Well, maybe let's suggest the following. There's one cluster of grapes in front of the Eved Kenani. So Gabinar Nidarim Dhi Mitzar Bahailo Mitzar Bahrini. So the Gemara says, look, when it comes to one cluster of grapes, and right now, for whatever reason, the Eved Kenani says, you know what? I don't want these grapes right now. I'm making a neder against these grapes. Like we've discussed time and again, a neder is going on the item. It's not going on the person. Consequently, only these cluster of grapes are going to be usher to him. There'll be others. So Lo Matzi Kafile. So now the owner can't get involved because this doesn't really adversely affect the owner. We can argue the point, and we will argue the point in just a moment. Mm-hmm. But right now, the Gemara is suggesting that's not going to affect the owner. So Gabin is Nazir Sechim Mitzvah Bahayitzah Bekulo Matzi Kafilei. But when it comes to Nazir, look, when you become a Nazir, you can't eat this cluster of grapes. You cannot eat any cluster of grapes, and that's going to adversely affect the owner. The Gabin Nadar Emilo Askinan Deleka Lahai Ashkol Di Ilo Achalei Chalish. To which the Gemara says, "Wow, am I not following? Really, in the case of Nadir, it's possible that right now these are the only cluster of grapes available. And when he makes a neder against these cluster of grapes, it's gonna affect him. He's gonna be weaker, he's gonna be undernourished. He can't do something that's going to affect the relationship, the Eved Rav relationship. The Gemara is gonna make a second suggestion. It's more or less identical to the first suggestion. It's just that instead of grapes, we're going to now talk about grape seeds, which don't really have any nourishing value to it. But it's basically going to be the same suggestion. So when it comes to neder, I'm only ossering these grape seeds. In any way, they don't nourish that much. But when I become a nazir, I osser all grape seeds. So the Gemara says, the Gemara says, okay, but again, it's possible that right now these are the only grape seeds available. And because they're the only grape seeds available, so if he doesn't eat them, he's going to have chalishas. So El Amar Abaye. So Abaye says, what we're going to do is we're going to go back to the Braisa, and we're really going to say a totally new shot in the Braisa. Lama Rabo Tsarich Likfoso Linazirus, Vein Tsarich Likfoso Linadarim, Vein Tsarich Likfoso Lishvua. Okay, new pshat. What the Braisa means is that when it comes to being a Nazir, the owner actually needs to respond. And when it comes to Neder and Erechin, the owner doesn't even need to respond. Meaning that by neder and erchin, there's no chalos whatsoever. He makes a statement, the Eved Kanani makes a statement that I want to make a neder, I want to make erchin. It's right. It's a meaningless statement. It's just that the Naziros does have value to it. There is meaning in that statement. There's status. And now it's for the master to override that statement. My time, Adam Akra, La Ra Leitiv, Ma Atav Rishus, Afara Rishus, Yatza La Ra Lachem, Shein Rishus Biado. And the reason why is because the you only have the ability to make a neder when you're in the position where you could do something which is either good or bad. Meaning that's the definition of a neder. You have the right, the ability to do something that's either good or bad. And then Eved Kanani is in a position in his life right now where he can't. In other words, he's owned right now by his master. He needs to work for his master. He cannot put himself in a compromised position. Which, of course, only then begs the question. Well, if that's true, so then why does his nazirus have effect? And the answer is, or certainly it would seem to be, based on what we said yesterday. Yesterday, which is Gzeiras HaKasav. Meaning, that's exactly the point the Gemara made yesterday. The Gemara said yesterday, Minahani Mili, how do I know? How do I know that a guy cannot be included in Naziris? How do I know that an Eved Kanani can be included in Naziris? What was the answer to that question? Drasha, V'amart Aleihem. Right? Daber Bnei Yisrael, V'amart Aleihem. Daber Bnei Yisrael, excluding Nanju. V'amart Aleihem, including Eved Kanani. Meaning, if it were following the regular rules of Nadar and Nadavos, so then of course an Eved Kanani can't become a Nazir. Because Naziris is just a function of Neder, and Eved Kanani can't do that? Of course not. The Amarta Aleim is a special limud, it's a special drasha, to tell me that they are included. And even though they're included, if the owner wants to, so he can override. That's what the Mishnah is telling us. Okay, stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up in the last Mishnah.